Good morning, everyone. I think I'll give folks a couple of seconds to come in. I would like to do a little survey this morning, so I kind of need as many of you here as possible. And I don't intend to embarrass anybody or to shame anybody or make anybody feel uncomfortable. So if you don't want to participate in my little survey, you don't have to participate. We want everybody to be comfortable. But as you see on the slide, I think you do see it on the slide, the topic this morning is about family worship. And I have a couple of reasons why I want to talk about this. One is I don't know you. I really don't know where you all are as a pastor in the church. I would love to know how people are doing and how to care for the flock. But also, we have a lot of new people. We got a lot of young couples, a lot of young families, and I'd like to do whatever I can to help you. I'm not speaking as an expert in the field. I do have a large family. We have done family worship for many years, but I think we all have a lot that we could learn, a lot of things that we could be doing. So I think pretty much everybody's walked in the room. Plus, doing the little survey will help me get my little nervous edge off. So now let me ask you, raise your hand if you are a member of a household. I just need one to represent a household. How many households do we have in the room? And that's including singles, too. Singles, married, households. You're a household no matter what you are, right? So we have this number of people in our household. Keep your hands up. Yeah. Okay. Now, if you don't have family worship or family devotions or family altar, whatever you want to call it, if you don't have that on a regular basis, 3 to 5 times a week, put your hand down. Yeah, I know, it affects the single people. Wait a minute. And if you're single and you don't have more than just yourself, put your hands down. So, and if you have no idea what family worship is, no idea, we'll talk about that this morning. Okay, thank you. You can put your hands down. Just warming up. I played disc golf yesterday, so my arm's kind of killing me. I'd like to talk to you about what I'm calling family worship. And so let's move on. I'd like to talk to you about family worship in the Bible. Now, the first thing I would like to say is all of creation is called to worship God. Everything is called to worship God. Worship is inherent in the creation. Is the slide showing there? Okay. We even sang it just now. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. All things were created for God and for His glory. So all things should be praising and worshiping and glorifying God. Let me clarify one thing. I think the term worship nowadays has got the idea that it's just about singing. It's just like you have the worship leaders who just lead in the songs and all that. Worship is not just about singing. Worship is about drawing near to God and hearing His voice and praying and worshiping and praising His name. So everyone is called just by virtue of being a creature to glorify God. The Lord Jesus even said to those who mocked when He was going into Jerusalem that if the people didn't worship, even the rocks would cry out. So all creation is called to worship. But in particularly, all of God's redeemed are called to worship. And I don't think anybody really argues that, do they? We are all called to be worshipers of God. Read through the scriptures, the Psalms, and throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, worship is very inherent in all of God's people and for all of God's people. I have just a few examples I'd like to mention from the scriptures about worship. The Bible doesn't explicitly say you shall have family worship, but it does speak about those who do worship. Abraham, for instance. Abraham was a man, and I don't know if you notice this when you read your Bibles, but wherever he went, he tended to build an altar. And altars were intended for worship. And I don't think Abraham went to the altar by himself. I think he gathered all of his family, but he was a worshiper. But we read over in Genesis 18, and I think this is an interesting situation. You remember the story of the two angels that were on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy them? Well, three angels came, but two of them went on. But God said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." Moses, and these are two or three times in the book of Deuteronomy, some of the same sentiments are mentioned. Deuteronomy 6, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." Over in Psalm 78, I love these verses. The psalmist says, "We will not hide them from their children." And that's the commandments of the Lord, the teachings of the Lord. "We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord, and his might, and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Seems very clear about the responsibility to train, to teach. And this is not just something that happens as you go along. It seems to be very intentional. The Apostle Paul no doubt expected that fathers would be making intentional effort to teach their children. When he said, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And that just doesn't happen because you just happen to be working in the yard and it just happens. A lot of people think it just happens. Well, there's an intent that is required. If you're going to nurture your children, train your children, you need to be speaking to your children. You need to be speaking to your families and speaking of the things of God. Otherwise, how would Timothy have been taught the scriptures the way he was? It says, "And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." I suspect that a lot of us as parents, we figure that Sunday school is enough. We figure that we come to church every week, so that's enough. Our kids are going to get the word, aren't they? Our families are going to learn righteousness and obedience. Let me just recommend a little book. I just picked this up. I was preparing this, and then I was looking online, and I saw that Donald Whitney, y'all familiar with that name? He wrote Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, Spiritual Disciplines for the Church. This is a little book on family worship, and maybe, I don't know what the process is of ordering these and getting them in the book room or whatever, but maybe we can get some in there. But it's a very small little book, and if you have any, you know, any thoughts or any desire about leading your families in worship, and even for you singles, it's not something just for those who are married with kids, but for singles as well. You need to be having your own personal worship in your homes. You need to be worshiping God. But not only that, but you may get married sometime, and so you also want to know about how to raise up your family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So this is a good little book I'd recommend for you all. What I'd like to do is I'd like to get your involvement this morning. I have some of my ideas I've thrown up on slides. Very basic things, but and a lot of them are right out of this book, so there are a lot of things that are very basic. So I'd like to share some of those things quickly through a few slides. You notice I put some books out here. I did take pictures of some of these books and threw them up in the slides. It's not a homeschooling thing here, but although these would be used in homeschooling perhaps. But I really would like to encourage you to be a blessing to your families, to bless your children, to love them, to nurture them. And at the very end, I hope to throw out even some reasons why this is so important for you. So anyways, doing family worship. Let me ask you right now, does anybody have, is there anybody that just doesn't know anything about what I'm talking about yet and they're curious, they have a question they want to ask? Okay. Some people call it devotions. We tend to call it devotions at our house just because that's a word that we had. But it's worship. Some people call it a family altar when they spend time praying together. But here are some things, and Don Whitney says this, keep it simple. Keep it simple. One of the reasons why a lot of people don't do family worship is they think it's just a big job. It's a chore. It's a class, a seminar they have to prepare for. Keep it simple. Read, pray, and sing. That's really what I'm talking about today. Something that anybody can do. Any one of God's children can do. Read, pray, and sing. Keep it short. That's one of my weaknesses. Shortness is not one of the things, but I'm writing this down because I need to be challenged myself. I remember when we first were doing family worship, and we had even small kids, 45 minutes, and I was dragging on, and they're all falling asleep. They're all, what is going on? And I wish I could say that it was actually really great teaching, too, but it was just wiping my whole family out. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that's a blessing to your family, a blessing. So it could be only like 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. Yeah? How is it at your house?
We're reminiscing about that.
15 or 20 minutes. You can do so much. Now, I also mentioned there, I think it's later on actually, but it should require preparation. If you're a Christian and you're reading your Bible on a regular basis, and you need to answer some questions for your kids, generally you can answer those questions just because you know your Bible, right? We are reading our Bibles, right? Now, we do come across questions that we don't know the answers to, and we need to struggle through those times. I know recently I had the question, so why did God harden Pharaoh's heart? And so that raises a lot of questions, and sometimes you don't know all the answers to the questions. Be consistent. I know it's in the 1689 Confession of Faith that families will worship every day, once a day. There was a time we had family worship, family devotions twice a day. We've really fallen off over the years. We got kids going to work. We got our schedules messed up. And so if we can do it four or five times in a week, it's wonderful. But you should aim to be consistent, not just when you feel like it. Set a time. Set a schedule. Have a routine. Maybe it's in the morning. Maybe some of you families, you're getting up and you're doing things early and you're going to work, and maybe you take 15 minutes or half an hour before everybody goes. Or maybe it's in the evening after dinner. Just seek to be consistent, times when everybody's available. Be flexible, because things do happen. Schedules do get changed. You can't do it all the time, so perhaps. But those are some really simple things you can remember. Keep it short. Be consistent and be flexible. Now, is that too small? I couldn't tell on my screen. It's really small. Can I do this, you think? No, I guess it won't work. So I'll go through some of these ideas. I was thinking, how do I tell if it's going to be too small on the screen? Let me just see so I can laugh with you.
Yeah, okay.
Everyone, please move up. Well, let me read it to you. Get my glasses here. Well, no, I did think it looked a little small, but I wasn't 100% sure how it would turn up there. Can you zoom it in over there? You can't do any of that. Read the Bible, and I put it basically in order of what I had said before. Read, pray, and sing. Read the Bible systematically. Have an order, have an organization when you read your Bible. You should do this. I believe you should do this even in your personal devotions, in your personal time with the Lord. You ought to be reading the Scriptures in some sort of an organized, systematic way. This opening the Bible and reading whatever comes will not develop a consistency in your spiritual life either. So, what's the deal with this? It just went off somewhere. Why is it doing that? I don't know. Oh! Somebody is taking control. Yes. Well, I can't even see what I'm doing, what I'm improvising here. If I could remember the second point, I'd even... Memorize Scripture. Yes. Thank you very much. Let me ask you another show of hands. Is there anyone that has in the past or now has... practices a routine of memorizing Scripture? And that's great. There's a whole lot of you that raised your hands. Is there anybody who's really, really passionate about Scripture memory right now? We have a few passionate people. Because we may need to ask you to help the others. That's the reason why I'm saying it. So raise your hand if you want to volunteer to help everybody else. What's that? My wisdom, thanks.
When our kids were little bitties, they're all our babies were now. Okay. But we would sit around the table and we would go through a passage, Psalm 23. And we would concentrate on memorizing verse 1. And then we would all quote it together. And the youngest at the time was 3. And we would quote it in King James. It has a 4th and 5th grade vocabulary. So that worked. And so we would be doing that every day, and every day we would quote it, and the oldest in the family would start, and we would go down around the table. We have 4 children, so we would do it 6 times. And then we would keep doing that after every meal for a week, and by the time we got through that week, we'd memorize 6 verses, and the kids were rewarded for memorizing a chapter of Scripture.
They got to eat their meal.
Well, we would do the eating first.
Yeah, okay.
But see, the benefit of this was we made it a mission in our family to impart Scripture into our children and ourselves. But in that process, we would reward them monetarily, and they would learn to tithe from what they got, and then they would split the remainder in half, and they would save some of it, and they could spend some of it immediately on whatever they wanted. And it's kind of processed through the family over the years. People have bought cars from Scripture memory. People have bought pianos.
Did you say cars?
Yeah.
Wow. We should have left the kids in here for Sunday school. They might have.
People have gone to Russia on mini trips because they memorized Scripture and were able to buy round trip tickets.
Wow.
And that kind of a thing. So there's a benefit to consistently hiding God's word in your heart, and He rewards you for it.
Yeah, yeah.
He says He'll reward you.
Yeah.
Joshua 1:8.
Yeah. Great. Great. I appreciate that. I think that's similar to what we would do with our kids. Portions of Scripture, actually, I have found are easier to memorize quite often than just a verse here and a verse there. So memorizing Scripture, anything to do with Scripture. One of the things that we enjoyed doing was singing Scripture songs. And we'd make up Scripture songs. We would find Scripture songs. I know we came across these CDs by Steve Green. Hide Them in Your Heart. I think there's Hide Them in Your Heart 1 and 2. Maybe there's 3. But there's lots of good Scripture songs that are in there that kids will pick up that quick. There's, I don't know if you know about Patch the Pirate and all them and Bob Jones. But they put out a bunch of songs and things like that as well. So, yes, sir?
Let me just say one more thing. We just got back from Colorado Springs and we were involved in that blizzard. But But while we were out there, my 3-year-old grandson said, "Grandpa, I want to quote to you Psalm 133, verses 1, 2, and 3, and he just ripped it out."
Wow.
And I thought, Caleb, you did an outstanding job. He got a big hug for his grandpa. And then his 6-year-old sister did the same thing. And while we were there, we just had a really super blessing. But the benefit of it is, the 3-year-old grandson calls grandpa and quotes Psalm 133 on the phone all the time.
Kind of nice. Yeah, I bet it is. You just started to tear up when you thought about it. That's great. Anything to have the Word of God in your minds, in your thinking, it may not go into the heart, but that could be your prayer and your hope that it would. That as your kids are, sometimes they just you hear little children, they'll just walk around singing songs. And unfortunately, I wake up in the morning quite often singing songs, and sometimes it's the last thing I heard on a radio or somewhere the day before. It's like, where in the world did that come from? But when the Word of God is going on in your mind and their little songs are coming out, what kind of songs are they? Maybe they're these scripture songs, and they're just singing them, and the house gets filled even with those kinds of things. So one of the things with our children, as they've gotten a little older, they don't seem to care to sing as much as they used to. I think I even offered them the other day. I said, I'll pay you if you'll sing a song with me. But it could be worth it to you. You buy a car. Anyway, singing songs, it's a wonderful thing. And I am tempted to sing some songs for you, but there are traditional songs. There are some traditional songs that I think are great. I think one day I sang them somewhere and the people didn't even know what they were. Have you ever heard of the song Peter and John Went to Pray? How many of you know that one? Peter, Andrew, James, and John in the sailboat. You know that one? Fished all night but they caught nothing. You don't know that one? Okay. Ray, Lynn, you and I. Well, I'll sing it for you. Peter, Andrew, James, and John in a sailboat. Peter, Andrew, James, and John in a sailboat. Peter, Andrew, James, and John in a sailboat. Out on the deep blue sea. What'd they do? They fished all night, but they caught no fishes. They fished all night. I know they use a fish bowl. Fished all night, but they caught no fishes. Fished all night, but they caught no fishes. Out on the deep blue sea. Cast your net for a drought, said Jesus. Cast your net for a drought, said Jesus. Cast your net for a drought, said Jesus. Out on the deep blue sea. Then their net was full of... I go on all day here with this one. But Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men rather than fishers of fish if you will follow me. And there's a song that the kids... We'll learn, and one of the reasons why I just sang that is because there's motions. Children love motions. They love activity. They love to do different things. And a lot of the songs that we used to sing, we sang with motions, and the kids, they got right into it. So I would encourage you. That also says it ought to be worship. The worship ought to be fun. It ought to be pleasant. It ought to be something you can enjoy as a family. That's about reading the Bible. Oh, yeah, we got the small print, don't we? Pray. Read Scripture, but pray also. Pray in the Word of God. Pray what you just read. If you read a portion from the New Testament, pray something from that portion of Scripture. And pray for your family. Invite... prayer requests from the family members. Have them pray. Invite them to pray. Think of others that you could be praying for. Pray for the kingdom. Pray for missionaries. Oh, I forgot to bring that thing this morning. I was going to bring something this morning to show you, but I forgot it. But find ways of going outside of yourselves and outside of your home and think of others and pray for others. Pray for the community. Pray for your community groups that you're involved in. Pray for the expansion of the kingdom. There's so many things that we could do. There's a book called Operation World. It's probably not suitable for for younger kids, but it's a helpful guide in praying for other countries. It gives you good information. So find ways of praying and extending yourselves out for others. Use the directory, the church directory. Pray for families in the church. And then I mentioned singing. Singing hymns, children's songs. I wrote Judy Rogers here. She's not strictly doing scripture songs, but they're very good songs. There's one that's based on the book of Proverbs called Go to the Ant. There's another one that's like, it may actually be more like from Catechism. It's Why Can't I See God? Very excellent songs, well done, and they're easy to remember. I could sing some, but I'm not going to because my feelings are hurt. No, I'm just kidding. And as I mentioned on the bottom, which you can't see, there's songs with motions really are great for, and this is even tinier. Wow! Catechisms. No, that's all right. That's fine. I'll just go through the rest of it. It won't be a problem. One of the things that we have done for years was to go through catechisms. We do it here for worship every week. We go through, we basically recite a catechism question. But one of the things that we did, and this actually I think some of my kids got some money for. I would say if you can memorize a catechism question and the answer, then I'll give you a quarter. And then we came to the States and just wasn't enough. They wanted a minimum raise, a minimum pay raise. I want a living wage. No. Anyways, I would give them something like that, a reward for memorizing a catechism question and the answer. And you learn a lot of theology in those catechisms. You can use the little children's catechism, which is just simple like, who made you? God. Very basic. What else? God made everything. Very simple questions. But then there's like the shorter catechism, which maybe some of you are familiar with, Westminster Shorter Catechism. There are other Baptist versions. Charles Spurgeon did a catechism. There's lots of them out there, even on the internet. Catechism questions help you to learn the theology very well and organize your understanding of theology as well. Other reading, if you have little children, maybe, and I mentioned in there in reading scripture, reading a children's story Bible, like this one by Catherine Boss. It's really, one of the things about children's story Bibles is sometimes they're so dumbed down, they leave out so much that could be valuable, or they reinterpret some things. I would recommend something that is very, yes?
That was like the best thing ever growing up.
All right.
I learned so much from
them. Great. Yeah, it's simple and it's true to the text of Scripture. So there's you got an advertisement for Catherine Voss's book there. Those I think are very, very well done. For little children, something like that would be very appropriate. As they get older, then getting them into reading. More difficult things. Also, we read other books like Pilgrim's Progress. We would read the Little Pilgrim's Progress, and then when they got older, we'd read the other. And the other one was usually still a little difficult. There's a lot of difficult imagery in Pilgrim's Progress, but things like that. Children, many other children's books, godly character books. I put some out here. Let me see if I got a. Actually, I'll show you some pictures here in a second. Missionary stories. Any of you like missionary stories? Not a whole lot of you are reading missionary stories, are you? But there are so many good books out there, and they're so very interesting. I remember reading To the Golden Shore, the story of Adoniram Judson. Very, very interesting story of heroism. I read a book on John Payton, the autobiography of John Payton, the missionary to the New Hebrides Islands. Man, and this guy was kind of like one of those, he seems like a proper Scotsman when he goes, but yet he's out there with cannibals and dealing with all kinds of crazy stuff out in these islands, and yet he shares the gospel and people are saved. Just amazing stories. There's so many other missionary stories that you can read. I would encourage you. I have a bunch at home. If you're interested in looking at them, come on over and I'd be happy to let you peruse them and borrow them. There's men's stories and women's stories. There's lots of them. Elizabeth Elliot wrote a really good one, A Chance to Die, about Amy Carmichael in India. So there's just a lot of different books. Devotional books, you can read morning and evening sometimes. Some people actually, they'll have their meal and they'll read morning and evening together as their devotional. You could do things like that. Pardon? Oh, Charles Spurgeon, yeah. Morning and Evening was written by famous pastor Charles Spurgeon. And incidentally, since you mentioned him, Charles Spurgeon, I think I heard that he was like over like 60 different organizations that he had founded. He preached for like 40 years, 30 or 40 years, thousands of sermons, like over 3,000 sermons were written and are in print today. He was like just very prolific, a prolific writer. I think he wrote 70 books, something like that. Prolific writer. He edited every one of his sermons before they were published. So very, very active man. And yet he had family worship regularly in his home. And he was a very strong proponent of it. J.C. Ryle, he wrote the Expository Thoughts on the Gospels. I mention this because it's really a very simple commentary to read. You can either read it aloud to your family, or you could read it to yourself and just use it as a guide for helping your family. Reading is really one of those wonderful blessings. My kids always liked to hear me read. I would just read, and they would say, "Read some more," and I'd read some more. Sometimes we'd have devotions 2 hours because we're reading. Well, I'm not kidding. Sometimes they would want to keep reading some particular book that was very interesting. So we've read a lot of books together. They haven't read a lot on their own as much as we have together, I think. There are some other things you can do too. If you have older kids, you can read some other books as well that will help you to talk about some things. Don't waste your life. Do hard things. I Kiss Dating Goodbye. There's a lot of young, teenager and young adult types of books that you could read to them. I had some devotional times with my sons, and I would just sit down and read some books that are pertinent to boys, like Every Young Man's Battle, that type of thing. And it would give opportunity just to talk about various things. So those are some ideas. And at the very bottom, you cannot read this, but it says, your ideas. You guys have any ideas you'd like to share? Any of you who have done some things? Or your families have?
On the note of reading to your kids, there's actually a study that came out, I think just this past week, that said that kids like age 6 to 18, like 90% of them wish that their parents had kept reading to them more. And even like 17, 18-year-olds were saying this. And a lot of parents will stop reading to their kids once their kids learn how to read. And this is actually like a detriment to the kids' lives and to the relationship of the parents and the kids. And I don't know where this like little tidbit came from, but according to the study, the parents reading to their kids actually has more benefit to a kid's life than if a kid were to go to like a really good charter school or private school. And then I've actually been thinking about this a lot lately.
Excuse me, is everybody hearing him? Because it's really helpful, I think.
Even though I'm not anywhere close to having kids, this whole topic has been on my mind.
How do you know?
something that I think about a lot, mostly because of how many of my friends growing up fell away from the faith or turned out not to be believers. Is for us to have the assumption that our kids are Christians. And I think it's very easy to think that like we're believers, we're growing our kids up in the church, so they're just born believers. And we have to remember that our kids are still born sinners. And like as Scripture tells us, discipline them, show them the ways of the Lord, tell them about Christ, teach them the deeds of the Lord. But they still need to learn that like they're a sinner in need of grace. And we can't teach our kids, giving them the benefit of the doubt, that they're already saved and that they should already be getting this. because I think they'll just grow up with this, like, oh yeah, this is what I do. I do this Christian thing. Jesus is the nice, cream on the top of my cake. And then once they get older and never really saw the totality of their need for the grace of God, they'll start chasing other gods.
Hmm. Yeah. Thank you very much. Any other thoughts, ideas? Rex? If you could speak loud, and I don't have to repeat you.
Think your children can't take stuff. It's complicated. Probably one of my favorite family worship books that we went through was A.W. Tozer's Attributes of God. And you just go, you sit down, tell them what the big words mean. What's omniscient? What's omnipresent? What do all these big, complicated things about God, what are And I think the other overarching thing with family worship is this what's going to teach your children that God matters, that he's real, that he's not just something that you see on Sunday. That's what's going to make them see my parents worship God. He's really here. This is important.
Thank you very much. Wow. Well, that's enough to convict anybody, I think. Any others? Laura was saying, I don't know if you heard her from there, but Laura was saying that they have gotten into, because the children are older, they've established a routine of everyone reading the same book of the Bible in their personal devotions. And so let's say they're reading the book of John. They'll all be reading John together. And then when they get together for family times, then they will share the things that they have been reading and learning from it and discuss it. Oh, that's good. Anything else? What are some of you? Yes? Sonia says that the kids love to act out the stories, and so they'll do plays, and they'll, especially because her parents are Hindus, they would actually go and do these plays for their parents whenever they visit. That's kind of neat. So now, who actually started them acting? Was that you? I can imagine. Oh, that's great. And that sort of thing, definitely, it sticks into minds of kids. How about some other families? We've heard from some of these single guys about family worship. any families with small children that you want to? What do you guys do? What do you folks do? Raylan? Raylan says that they make prayer cards for different people, and they keep a collection of these prayer cards, and then they just hand them out, and everybody prays for the particular prayers. That's kind of neat. Anything else? Jamie?
Sit down and kind of rechat the Bible or story, and it'll take 10 minutes for bedtime. So we make that a
prepared songs, and then after that, we'll do a tell a little story about what we do for deaf study for the kids. And after we do that, they color what me and my wife study about the book of the Bible. So right now, we're going through the book of Romans.
I got nervous when you said we once a week we do an in-depth study. And I'm thinking, wow, is this a Bible college course you're giving to your kids? I was going to say, maybe we should have a chat. any others? Yes. Jay.
Mm-hmm. Which is it's about an animal, and that really engaged the kids. And that, and we also think the kids look back on it. It's probably better time than they looked at it.
Right, yeah. Sometimes to be able to look back on it, it's like, wow, what a wonderful experience it was. And then, of course, you were like pulling out your hair at the time, perhaps. I just have some pictures. These are some of the materials that are here. We really enjoyed a lot of the Miller's books. I don't know if you ever read any of that stuff, but I think the Miller books are. I think it's Mennonite, Mennonite or something like that. But very nice, wholesome stories. There's some other ones there that I would mention. Book of Virtues. Poetry is something that kids do well with, too, having them memorize some poems, and poems with good, maybe theological or moral lessons. So those would be very helpful. I put the Proverbs for parenting in there because it's not necessarily something that you're going to read to your kids, but it may be something you would use to help you to actually teach some practical truths from the book of Proverbs. So. And I really think, although memorizing Proverbs is very difficult, using Proverbs for your family to teach and train your family is very important. These are just some like missionary stories. I think if we can broaden our sense of the world, of what's going on outside of where we are, I think that's very important for us. It's so easy to become me focused, my family focused, my home focused, and not thinking about others. There's some other ones. I don't know if you could see the first one. The first one is Here I Stand by Martin Luther. Very, really excellent book. Adoniram Judson's book, To the Golden Shore. George Mueller. Y'all ever heard of George Mueller? Great reading, especially his autobiography is just very interesting. I think he's not the one who did Spiritual Secret, right? That was Hudson Taylor. There's John Payton's book. There's Elizabeth Kuhn, who wrote the book Nothing Daunted. There's that one, The Chance to Die, mentioned there. This is just a page from Ryle's Expository Thoughts. I thought, well, if you could read it there, then you might get to appreciate how valuable that would be. So, anyways, I just want to, and this is really closing, but the importance of family worship. And some of these brothers have made some very helpful and challenging points. God is worth being worshipped. He is worthy. And if you're a child of God, that ought to be your desire. And the more, the better. It ought to be our desire to. And that's what I want more. I would like to have more. And if you come here on Sundays, you worship, you love it. You have your personal devotions. Well, it only makes sense that you would want to do that with your families. So worshiping God is, it's great because He's worthy. He's our Creator. He's our Provider. He's our Lord and our God. Also, it's important because we're needy. We have so many needs, and He's the only one who could satisfy our needs. Worship draws us to God and keeps us near God. I think the more time you spend in the presence of God, the less time you're going to spend with those temptations you have. So it helps us in so many ways. It is a means of grace. It's a time of spiritual opportunity. You have, and when you get older and your kids are grown and you have the regrets, you think, well, if I had only. Well, I don't want you to have regrets. If you're young couples, you have little children, I don't want you to have regrets. I want you to have joy. Take the opportunity you have to spend that time you have with your families and show them the love of Christ. And I think, who was it? It was talking about the importance of, somebody says that the, maybe it was you, Jay, you were talking about the kids saw that it was important to Dad. It shows that it's meaningful to you. If you're a real Christian, your kids will see some of that real Christianity right there in the home. I have to credit my wife because so many times, and this is one of the drawbacks for me, is laziness. That one of the big reasons we don't have family worship is we're lazy. We don't want to take the time to just open the Bible. Well, I want to watch TV. I just want to do this or I just want to do that. And your family goes by the wayside. And so I'm thankful I have my wife who prods me and helps me. And may we help and prod one another. This is what I'm trying to do this for today, to prod, to help prod a little bit. And it's out of love, because if you're not having family worship, it's only because I love you. I want you to start. I want you to be challenged. Think about the opportunity for the gospel in your kids. You have children, and I appreciate the point that was made. A lot of families assume their kids, they go to church, they go to Sunday school, they're Christian somehow. It doesn't just happen like that. It may happen that they become a Christian by faith in this setting. But why not in your own home? Why not share the gospel with your own kids? And seek to lead them to Jesus right in your home. Yes. Yes, yes. Amen. Amen, amen. Yeah, yeah. Yes, Raylan? And I think that's a comment that needs to be added at the end of this. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord will bless you may not see that blessing, but he is going to bless the labors, the care, the tears, the burdens that moms and dads bear for their children, even though they do whatever they can, and yet things don't go the way that they would hope that they would go. Yet we sow seed in hope. We bear precious seed, even in tears, but it's still seed being sown, and that we trust that the Lord, it's in his hands. And I hope that I hope you're encouraged by just the fact that God will, he will bless. He will not leave you to be completely fruitless in any way. I think he will bless you because of your faithfulness and your desire to serve him and caring for your children. Well, keep waiting. Keep pressing on. Jay. And I think I'm at, I got 2 minutes, so. Well, there's a lot of other topics that could fall into those categories as well. Yes, sir? Real quick?
Yeah, really quick. What do we do in our car? Did any of you drive more than 10 minutes to get here? Probably most of you drove more than 10 minutes to get here. Have you heard of Lamplighter?
I have, actually, yeah.
They've got some really neat Bible stories on cassette. You can plug in your car instead of listening to local radio stations. Pick that up. We've been doing it, and it's just really neat to screen. It's devotional. Kind of fills in, kind of, it's a Bible story. It's not scripture, but it's a Bible story around the scripture.
Yeah.
It attracts the young people. My granddaughters and stuff was good. I know the story of Christmas time. Mm-hmm. Zachariah and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph and the whole bit. And it just really been really super. You're a Bible story. She just listened to it in the car, and she's 4 years back to me.
Oh, good.
She's 4 years old.
Yeah, we did a lot of that too. I appreciate you saying that, because that's a very good thing to do, especially on these long trips to listen to good tapes and all that. So I wish I could entertain more questions, but just to close this up, I think there is training, but in the end, I think another benefit is the way it blesses the home. It blesses your family. It blesses the atmosphere of the home. It affects attitudes. It affects other people in different ways. Sometimes you think that this one activity of yours is not going to have that much fruit, but you'd be surprised the things it does. You'd be surprised the people your kids talk to. You'd be surprised how what you do within your home has an impact upon the church. Can you imagine that? Well, I think that was all I had to say, and I was going to ask for questions, but you're already spoken in time's up. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just the fact that we've come to the end of this time, it does seem like there's so much more that perhaps could be shared and talked about. We thank you for gathering us this morning. Thank you for the topic. We pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in us as individuals, whether we're singles or married families. Please help us to be worshipers. We pray that you would bless our families. Lord, make us worshiping families. Make us people who love you, who love your word, who love to pray, who love to sing your praises. Help us. Help us to know how to stir up one another in love, to pursue greater involvement with our families. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. We pray that you'd bless our time together, as we continue. Lord, show yourself mighty to us. Glorify yourself in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.